Please do. We'll send you the recording once we get it published on our blog next week here, or by the end of the week. So we're glad you're here, and we're looking forward to spending some time with you today. Thanks for taking your lunchtime with us, or your evening if you're over in the UK and Ireland and Europe with us today. But we're really glad to have you. So much of this conversation is interactive, so that right now we've already asked you to interact via the chat window. You can click that button if you're just hearing it now. If you've just joined us, click your chat window open and say hi and where you're coming from today. Heather just said hi from New Hampshire, and Brittany just said hi from Utah. Welcome, yeah, you
Utah.
Guys.
That's
so awesome.
Good to have you all here. And we're just going to kind of dive into what we're up to. And that right now is we're going to provide a conversation that's, like I said, interactive. We're going to spend some time here engaging. We want to hear your questions along the way. And our topic today, if you don't know it already, is finding your calling as a woman church planter. So the fellas in the room, there's a few of you there that I've seen on the chat window. I'm here with you. We are welcome to be allies and to hear, but we're also really here supporting what this conversation looks like specifically for women who are feeling that call to church planting. And we have four wonderful women who have church planted, who have very different stories, that you guys are all going to get to hear this really nuanced approach to God calling lots of different folks in lots of different ways to serving in the kingdom. And so I'm really excited about that. One thing we want to do is we want to hear from you right at the beginning. We're going to interact with you right away. I'm going to send over a poll to you. So in just a second, don't be worried. You're going to get a screen that's going to pop up right in your face. Ready, go. Ready, launch the poll. You see that there? So we want to hear from you. Tell us about yourself, and you can click any that apply. Maybe you're discerning your calling in ministry right now. Maybe you're a church planter. You've planted, or you're preparing to plant a church, or even in the last couple of years you've planted and you're still establishing yourself as a church. Or you're a pastor. You've been doing this for a little while, or you're at a church that's already established. And also, if maybe one of those roles doesn't fit, feel free to click other and then just tell us what your kind of ministry role is right now, or kind of sketch a picture of that. And then also, we want to ask your gender. Do you identify as female or male, or do you rather not prefer right now? We'd love to just kind of hear who's in the room with us, right? If anybody was kind of in this session and we were all in the same room together, we'd want to know this. We'd sort of gauge the room. All these wonderful teachers would kind of get a sense of, hey, who's with us? What's your story? They'd welcome you on the way in, and that's what we're trying to do here, is recreate that space just around the coffee table, getting to have a little bit of coffee and conversation with you today. So as you guys are all filling that out, I'm going to introduce our tremendous panel. First, we have Kathy Maskell. Kathy is the pastor of discipleship at the Blue Root Vineyard Church in Media, PA. Welcome, Kathy. We're so excited to have you. Kathy also serves as part of the steering committee for Vineyard Justice Network. And has planted and been a part of some planting teams in many different instances along the way. Kathy, thanks for being with us today. We're so glad to have you.
Thanks.
Also, we have Trish Ryan. Trish is the co-founder of the Greenhouse Mission Vineyard Church in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Trish is trained as a lawyer and an author, and just does just about everything, I think. Wonderful to have you on the call here today, Trish.
It's good. I'm super excited to be here.
Awesome. And we also have Shalane Coit. Shalane is from the Grand Junction Vineyard, Vineyard Community Church in Grand Junction, Colorado. She's the senior pastor there, was on the planting team over a decade ago now. Has it been? Yeah, you said it was 2001, right?
2011. So we're hitting 8 years in January.
8 years. Wonderful. Well, Shalane, yeah. Thanks for being with us today from the Mountain Time Zone.
Yes, glad to be here. Thanks.
And we have Kathy Chester, who's the senior pastor at Carolina Coast Vineyard Church in Carolina Beach, North Carolina. What I love so much is we affectionately know her church as the Beach Church. Like, it is literally right on the beach, which for somebody like me who's in northern Minnesota right now sounds pretty good around this time of year. So, Kathy, thanks for being with us from sunny Carolina today.
I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. So, folks, just kind of a look around at who's with us today. I'm going to share our poll results. 56% of us are discerning your call in ministry. so wonderful. We're so glad you're here. That's tremendous. We hope today is just a chance to hear from a few other voices to discern that conversation a little more. And we're going to be sending you along tools and resources along the way to help in that process. We also have 17% of folks that are church planters. They've identified, wow, this calling is for me, or you've planted a church. We're glad you're here. And we got 32% who are pastors and almost 20% who have another ministry role. That's so wonderful. And predominantly female in the room. 95% of us here are female. Wonderful. Good to have you here. And 5% of us, including me, are the fellas. Guys, way to be here, way to show up. And this is probably a time where we get to learn and listen. And that feels really right now. So as we dive in, I just want to say, kind of as we enter the conversation, just where the Vineyard is at a starting point. So the Vineyard has come to through lots of discernment and lots of effort to say, we really believe that men and women can serve at all levels of leadership throughout the Vineyard, from senior pastor to church planter. And so just so you know, this conversation is going to have that as a starting point. We're going to have that conversation today. We're going to give some resources that specifically do talk about the Vineyard stance on that and our position, and even wrestling through some of those theological things. But our hope is that the conversation turns from not just deciding and wrestling with that stance, but rather saying, okay, now what does that look like for women who are called? And you're going to hear these voices and these stories of four women who have been called and who are doing that ministry. And so as we get going, I just want to say thank you to all of you, Trish and Kathy and Shalane and Kathy. Thank you for saying yes to the invitation that Jesus has put on your lives. I know it's cost a ton, and we're just so glad that we get to hear from you and learn from you today. It's an honor. Thank you all for being here. So my first question as we get going, and Shalane, I'm going to go to you first, is okay. We're starting with discernment, right? And I'd love to hear, and maybe you could weave in a little bit of your story briefly, but what was helpful for you in your discernment process as you were hearing this voice of, okay, you might be called to plant a church someday?
Right. First of all, so glad to be here. And I really want to encourage you women that are on here today, take away some really good stuff today from this. My story started a while ago in the Vineyard. I've been part of the Vineyard since 1994. And I really got involved in the church because I wanted to be in small groups. And I loved the Holy Spirit teaching here. And I just found myself leading more. My first leadership role in the churches, I went to our senior pastor and asked him why we don't have a Christmas Eve service. And in 1995, I said, if our small group actually started a Christmas Eve service, would you just come? Could we have the church and just come? And it was great. But one of the things for discerning for me is that, what are the things you're already doing? Are you someone who's already leading? Are you already gathering people? When you get involved in anything, whether it's church or your parenting group or something with friends, do you see yourself moving into leadership roles? Because that's part of the discernment process, is that, is God already giving you gifts and you're using them everywhere? That's one of the things I want to encourage you with, because that's my church planting came from the fact that I have a friend who was going to plant and asked if I would help him. And I said, sure. I was executive pastor at one of the larger vineyards. And I said, I'd be happy to come help you plant. And we planted the church in January of 2001 or 2011, sorry. And just 3 months after we planted, he passed away. 4 days into our church plant, his leukemia came back. And so I basically ran that church from the time that it started. And I was comfortable in leading. I love to teach. I like to gather people. I care about people. And so I pastor because I love people. And that's one thing I just want to encourage you with the discernment process, ladies, is if you already see yourselves in some of these positions, move forward with it. If God has gifted you and you know that, if you know that he is, you are a leader, you are a teacher, you find yourself doing these things over and over again, perhaps that's one of the messages that he's giving you in the discernment process, is that you see yourself already doing this. It is a gift. And so accept that gift and move forward with that.
It's wonderful, Shalane. Thank you so much for that encouragement. Trish, what do you hear as either responding to that or kind of from your perspective and your story, what was helpful in your discernment process?
Yeah, I really responded to what she said about sort of finding yourself just leading things. So that's definitely part of my story. I came to faith in my early 30s. I had been a really unhappy lawyer and was looking for spiritual answers for about a decade in the New Age. And so I was very involved in that. And I even worked with one of the best-selling authors. I traveled with her. I watched her lead. And so when I came into the Christian faith, I was really shocked that women in leadership was even an issue. That had never been a thing for me. And I'm grateful to have landed in a vineyard where women were already leading. And so this conversation really has caught me kind of back on my heels a little bit. But at the same time, I look at what God was doing in terms of discerning a call. And even when I was in the New Age, I remember hearing a voice, which I now know is God, saying, oh, you're going to do what your New Age boss does, but your source is going to be different. And at that point, she was leading a church. And so I never thought I would lead a church. I, you know, became part of a vineyard. I was leading a small group 5 months in when I'd just given up astrology. And I thought, wow, I should start reading the Bible. You know, sort of scrambling, leading above my head with other leaders with me helping out. And those things kind of ran very parallel for me. And so one of the things I think, ladies, is you're discerning a call. And guys, too, if you're leading above sort of what you know how to do, that's one of the signs I think that God is calling you. And being comfortable in that space will serve you really well when you plant. So we planted Greenhouse Mission 2 years ago here in Cambridge. My husband and I co-founded it. I do the preaching and most of the vision casting. And he is in more sort of running the behind the scenes roles. And that works really well for us. But it's been an interesting dynamic because it's not typically how churches are planted. But it's worked really well and God's been with it.
Thanks, Trish. I love hearing that story of kind of just how your giftings have also kind of unraveled, like how you then lead in the church, right? Yeah. You're co-leading together, but those roles are really decided not just based on gender, but really saying, hey, what are you good at?
What are you actually good at? Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Kathy, tell us a little bit about, Kathy Maskell, tell us a little bit about your story in terms of discerning along the way.
Yeah. So I've been a part of the Vineyard since 1998, and really it was the Vineyard Church in Evanston in Illinois is the first Vineyard Church I was a part of, and it was the first church I ever was a part of. And I guess that was 1996, but in 1998, Rand Tucker was sent out from Evanston Vineyard to plant a church in Hyde Park where I was going to school. And, you know, in addition to what Trish and Shalane have talked about in terms of I just identifying like whether you are currently leading, you know, like having an understanding of just what you're good at, you know, part of what Rand did pretty much from day one is create a culture of expectation that some of us should expect to become church planters. And thankfully, without regard to gender, I mean, like I heard it just as clearly as my guy friends at Hyde Park Vineyard. And you know, I was raised Buddhist, so I just had no grid for Christian culture outside of what this 28-year-old guy was explaining to me, like what to expect in terms of church culture, which was similar to Trish. Like I was pretty much a baby Christian at the time of that church plant. And so it's like, oh, you're pretty sure you like Jesus. Like you should participate on the prayer ministry team. You should host a small group. Hey, you should join us when we go and hang out with people in Washington Park. Kathy, you seem to enjoy gathering people and putting on events. Like, what do you think about putting together like the Alpha Holy Spirit weekend? And, you know, part of it was just I didn't think to say no. And Rand just kept on inviting. And so I think whether you're discerning a call or you're even thinking about continuing to build your team as a church planter now, just building that culture of expectation from day one, as well as inviting people in. And for us, kind of fast forwarding a little, like after we after I graduated, and then got married in 2004. My husband Caleb and I were definitely just kind of always joking around, like, "Huh, I wonder if and when God might call us to church plant." And at the time, we were in New Haven, Connecticut, and we're a part of New Haven Vineyard. And we just kind of had one of those classic, you know, small groups that kept on growing. And over the course of a few years, you know, our small group went from like 10 people to like 40 people. And I remember there was that moment where I just liked it for what it was. And we were starting to do the work. Matt and Hannah Crosman were co-leading this small group with us. And we were just starting to do the work of asking questions, you know, this discernment of, or really co-discernment with other leaders who we respected, other leaders who had perspective. So one conversation in particular that I'll never forget was with Mike Turgiano. We were at a youth retreat that he was speaking there, and we were just kind of huddling up, and we're like, "Yeah, well, we got this small group that's not really that small. What do you think, Mike Turgiano? Like, tell us." And you know, he said, "If you don't plant this thing, it's gonna die in the womb." And we're like, like, we don't want to kill any babies. Like, I don't want to be liable. And again, it's just people like Mike who just said, "Well, why not? Like, pay attention to what's happening around you." And so Elm City Vineyard was the church that we planted. It's just celebrated its 10-year anniversary with Josh Williams at the head. And I've been so grateful over the 10 years of watching just different transitions of leadership. But every step along the way, even in the evolution of that church, there's been very deliberate discernment that has happened in small groups, in relationship to just the larger network of vineyard leaders across the country, saying, like, why not?
And Kathy, I love that there's sort of even the feminine image and metaphor of birthing a church plant, right? Is as we talk about church planting, there's a whole lot of metaphors that get thrown out there. And as we talk about this conversation of who's allowed to church plant, that metaphor and that phrase from Mike, that it's going to die in the womb if you don't go do this thing, if you're not, don't go, like, feels very, like, that opens the door more for what's even possible and what God's doing and what he's creating here. So that's wonderful. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, you can't grunt a church plant. You got to birth it.
Kathy Chester, tell us a little bit about your story as well and what was helpful for you in the discernment process.
Well, I guess I'm going to go back a little bit that, you know, as far as kind of tying into what even Kathy was saying, as how it kind of evolves when you get involved in the church and you're volunteering and you find things that really touch your heart or you know you're good at. You kind of get a chance to experience things just by getting involved in a church, just as an attender. And it kind of gets that feel. I know for me, you know, there were certain things I'll just kind of fill me in anywhere. I'll help you. But I know that when I married my husband and he knew he had been called into ministry and hadn't done it, and eventually then God took care of that so that we were in ministry. We had become a part of a small group of people. We weren't really officially a church plant, but we were definitely a family, a church community. And in time, it kind of evolved where the pastors relocated and left, and my husband took over as the pastor and the preacher at the church. And I was never the pastor's wife, but we just worked really well together at what we did. So eventually that church became a house church in our home. Never really thought of it as a church plant. We were just this community of people. And my husband eventually just felt really led to go to VI. And we just started learning a little more about the vineyard. We were familiar with it. I have family that are very involved at Vineyard Columbus. And it's funny because he really didn't want anything to do with vineyard. He liked the little piece, you know, that we had. But then God kind of said, look into this. So we really feel led to at least look into possibly even our church, our little church adopting in as a vineyard. And God spoke very clearly, no, you're not even supposed to be in Columbus, Ohio anymore. So it was a discernment process for both of us as a team. And we knew what his gifting was, and mine just kind of was, we were a partnership. But there really wasn't a label on what I was doing. It just worked. And it was a process between us, and it worked. And we ended up church planting where we are now in North Carolina 5 years ago. Like I said, the discernment was more for both of us equally to church plant. And it was just kind of a natural role of what each of us had. And then 4 months after we got here, my husband died very unexpectedly from gallbladder surgery. So we brought no team with us, no family with us here. And I had to do a lot of praying, but I just really knew God was leading me to stay. So I kind of evolved into, I kind of got promoted into the pastor role. So that discernment, it was already there, but it really wasn't on my radar to be pastor, but definitely church planter.
Yeah.
So it was a little, my story is a little bit different. And so it took that timing after my husband died for God to really show me, you know, how I was supposed to do that role, how I was supposed to do church planting, how I was supposed to be a pastor. So, like I said, mine's very, very unique, but it started actually as a partnership discernment for us. Mm.
You know, one thing I want to add in there too, just real quick, sorry, and is that when I was on staff at another vineyard, I was the executive pastor, and our pastor actually retired. And when he was getting ready to retire, he called the two of us executive pastors in to let us know he was going to do that. One of the other executive pastor was a man, and he said he really wanted to plant. And so our pastor said, please wait until I have retired and we've got the transition over. And he was asking us this because he was looking for his successor. And I said, you know, I really don't feel like I'm called to be a senior pastor. So go ahead and do the pastor search and I'll just stay in this executive pastor role. So it's quite interesting that a few years later, when I had a friend who really felt called to plant and wanted me to come with him, I did. And I think part of the discernment process I want to encourage you ladies on is listen to what other people say as well. Because sometimes I think we think we know. And other people might see some of the things as well that we don't see. Where I was very comfortable in that executive pastor position, I loved it. But then when somebody else said, no, I think you should come with me and let's go plant. And then when he passed away and I did become a senior pastor, it was something that I had said, I just don't see myself doing. And yet here I am 8 years into it, yeah, doing it. So part of the discernment process, ladies, is can you listen to what other people are saying to you too? Yeah. Invite people to be praying on your behalf and listening to the Holy Spirit for you as well and see what they're saying. Because I think other people's input might have something to do with what God is saying to you too, because sometimes we just have our blinders on. I like what I'm doing right here. I'm good right here. But God may have something more for you. And part of the discernment may be through someone else.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. We had that part of my process was similar in that I was really happy. I was leading the Alpha program and working with a lot of new people and, you know, writing books and going on tour. So I had a lot of freedom and I loved that. I did not consider myself that. And it was my husband and I were out speaking for Jeff and LeCue Hyde Camp at the Mercy Vineyard at their leaders retreat. And they cornered us and just said, you guys are pastors. What are you going to do about that? And on the flight back, where normally I would crash after a whole weekend of speaking and, you know, being around people and all that, we just talked the whole way there. And literally on that plane, God birthed this whole vision that had not been there. We had not been having that conversation before. So yeah, I would agree. Like when people say something to you, even if it feels like, no, pay attention to that.
Listen to it.
Yeah, let God speak into that. See what he's doing.
Yeah. I just want to add to what Kathy's point that she made about the difference between a church planter and a pastor. So for us, when we planted Elm City Vineyard, we planted it as two couples together, which is a little unusual. So that's four people co-planting as a team. So me and Caleb and Matt and Hannah Crosman. And as we were starting to have those serious conversations, like Caleb and I became pretty sure that we were called to be church planters. And we were pretty sure that Matt and Hannah were the pastors and that they had this pastoral gift. And for me, it was just a longer discernment process to figure out whether I was called to be a pastor. And I'm on staff now as a pastor of discipleship, but I don't know if others would want to just add to that. But for me, like, church planting is this kind of ability and desire to be entrepreneurial, to start things. You kind of already have, you enjoy gathering, starting new things, developing teams, kind of deploying folks and having kind of an instinctual sense for those things. Whereas pastoring is like shepherding, abiding, like staying, like caring for people, having patience for crisis situations, which I am growing in.
Of course you are.
Trish, what would you say to that? Sort of those unique giftings, right? And those unique competencies that church planters need more specifically.
Yeah, I would completely agree. I've had a similar stretching and growing process because I tend to be more entrepreneurial. I like gathering people. I like new things. In my role for years, what I was doing is I was gathering people who were brand new to exploring faith, and then I'd ship them into like the bigger mothership, and other people would receive them and pastor them well, and I'd work with the next group of people. And so my role now is really different, but I think it fits in also with discerning how God is calling you to grow. So I think one of the dangers of getting into a leadership role is there's no one, well, there are, but you don't necessarily have to listen to them. Like, are you growing? And for me, I feel like God and the people who are helping me figure this calling out and figure out how to do this are really saying, like, well, what's God talking to you about, Trish? And, you know, where are you stretching and growing? And, you know, I always say you have to lead as who you are. And nothing has confirmed to me who and how God made me like this process of church planting. It's been unbelievable. Instead of being like, oh, I need to be this other way, I feel like God's like, no. Here's how I made you. Here's how you respond to things. You can trust that. And just bringing confirmations along that. And it's been really, really, it's exciting and good and makes God feel really close.
And I think, too, that people often have a stereotype that church planters and pastors have to be those alpha personalities and the outgoing ones. And it's not, because each one of us has something to bring to the table. My husband was very much a visionary, and I always had to pull him in. I was the one that kept it real, and that's how it worked. But I'm that shepherd. And I remember when my husband died, he was that outgoing guy, and I'm like, how am I going to do this? And God made it very clear, you use the giftings I've given you. This is how I've made you and what I've called you to be. And so I had to learn to grow in my skills as a pastor and a church planter through the way I was. And it's, like I said, it's different for each person. And so I had to grow. And it's interesting that through those strengths, which were the quieter strengths for me, I have grown into those other ones. And now when I tell people, I've really struggled with shyness my whole life, they look like, really?
This is so good. And I love hearing all the different ways that each of you were called into this thing, right? In the Vineyard, it seems like what we're trying to do is provide many pathways into this, because it seems like there isn't one cookie cutter approach to beginning a new church, right? It could happen with two couples in a college town that say, hey, I think we're called to do this, like Kathy or Shalane, where it, and Kathy Chester, from some pretty serious moments of loss, there was birthed a community of faith. So good. Let me send over just a couple resources. We want to kind of hear good stuff and then pause and digest. There is tons of good questions coming in that have been really, really great. If you have any questions, please send them over to us via the Q&A button. You have that up there on your screen. And we'll get to those along the way. We're not going to leave a bunch of time at the end. We're going to just, like, as we go, tackle those questions right when, kind of close to when they're being asked. Before I bring those questions up to our panelists, There's been some discussion already about, am I called to be a church planner and what are those competencies? I'm sending over a link to everybody in the chat window. It's a link to a series of 10 questions that we have on the Multiply Vineyard website that are designed, specifically tailored to figure out for you, are you called to be a church planner? They kind of come from those clarifying things, those entrepreneurial strengths. And there's a little form there that you can take a little bit of time and fill out. We'd love to have you discern with us. And the more that we can partner with you in your process, we would love to do that. Another way that we do that is through some online courses. We have some free online kind of mini courses that are really self-paced and video learning and give you some good questions to ask. When we talk about discernment and calling, those are big words. And so let's grow together and let's learn together. There is a series of 4 little mini courses that you could go take right on our Multiply Vineyard website right now to discern your calling or to go a little deeper in that. And so we'd love to point you to those 2 resources if you're interested. And then let me just ask by way of raising your hands, you have a raise hand button over there. Has anybody felt that tension around discerning your calling? If you have, raise your hand. Click that little raise hand button in the top left. I'm seeing 11, 12, 14, 16 hands just shooting up, right? Like that tension that we're talking about here, it's not easy. Like, and so discernment is a team sport. Discernment is done better together. Discernment isn't feeling like, oh, I have these strengths and then going and figuring out how to do it. Discernment is really coming into community and doing that well. And so thank you everybody on our panel here that you've described not only your story, but all these other people who are involved with it along the way. A couple of the questions that came in around that, there were a lot that as we started talking about self-awareness and uniqueness, right? That I heard some good things coming up there, and we're going to really spend some time there next. But what was a tool for you all that was, and I'll go to you, Trish, first, what was helpful for you towards gaining more self-awareness? You talk about leading as you, right? What was some of that you really gained more self-awareness, more understanding of who you were as you were leading?
I think how fast-paced church planting is. So, you know, I do 98% of the preaching. So sermon after sermon, I'm with God figuring out, what are we doing? What does this group need? What are you doing through me? And there wasn't a lot of time. Pardon me, my voice is going a little bit. There wasn't a lot of time to be thinking like, oh, what will people think of me? What will their response be? And I found out that when I spent too much time in that space, it wasn't fruitful. Like my sermons really suffered. And so I got a helpful piece of advice years ago where a pastor said, I may not love what I'm about to say, I may not be totally confident in my sermon, but if it's the only sermon these folks are going to get this week, then I'm just going to trust God to use it. And that has helped me so much. And it's always the sermons that I'm like, I'm getting up, I don't really know quite how this is going to go, that they are the most powerful. The Holy Spirit speaks through me. I say things in addition to what I prepared that I wasn't maybe planning on saying. So I think really seeing God work through me, I've learned that he trusts me and I can trust him. And that gets blocked a lot when I'm busy worrying about, what is that person saying or thinking, or, you know, is this an issue? The more I can move that out of the way, the more room there is for me to hear from God. And the more I learn to trust that as a way to move forward.
Shalane, when you think about self-awareness, what comes up for you?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've thought of as a woman leader and being self-aware is being intentional about the team that I have around me. I know what I am good at. I know what I can do. And one of the questions that someone brought up is that you have to be a jack of all trades to do this. And you really don't. You need to figure out where God has gifted you, and you need to walk boldly in that giftedness. Mm-hmm. And then what we do in that giftedness as leadership is that we are intentional about who we put around us, that we look and intentionally build people into our leadership sphere that fit needs that we're either lacking in or that we don't want to put the time toward, but that we're intentional about it. Now, let me tell you a challenge that comes with that, that I have found. I think that one of the challenges that women leaders deal with is that as a planter, if you are a man and you go and plant a church and you plant with a male worship leader and a male executive pastor and you put all these men on your leadership team, then no one thinks a thing about it. And if you have a church and in the church you've got a male service host and a male who does the communion message and a male who's doing the announcements and a male leading worship and you're a male pastor, no one thinks a thing. But as a woman, I have to be much more intentional and thoughtful about this, because if someone walks into my church and I've got a female worship leader and I have a woman who's doing the announcements and a woman who is leading communion that weekend, and then I get up to preach, then I've just been labeled a church because it's all women. And there's a real tension that we have to deal with in that, that men don't have to, but that we do. And so part of my intentionality is that I'm trying to say, I need to pull people around me that are going to complete this team, that are going to fill in where my weak areas are or where my deficiencies are, or again, where I just don't want to put my time. But part of my intentionality is that I've got to make sure that some of those people are men and not just other women who are gifted. However, with that comes this caveat. I don't ever disqualify based on gender. We just had an opening on our staff this year for a youth leader position, and the two finalists were a man and a woman, and I did not disqualify the woman thinking, well, great, now our next leader's not going to be another woman just because she was a woman. She actually got the job. Don't disqualify based on gender. I just realized I have to be a little bit more intentional about looking and making sure, you know, what does my weekend look like? Is my weekend an all women weekend? Are the only people who are highlighted on the stage all women? And I'm going to address this in a few minutes too, but we have this very different dichotomy in that I am the solo senior leader. My husband does not lead with me. He leads our children's ministry. And so we have kind of a role reversal in that. And that it's not a man who is leading and a woman leading children's ministry. It's a woman who is leading and a man leading children's ministry. And but part of my self-awareness is knowing what I'm good at and putting people around me who are good at what they're good at, and building a really cohesive team in that regard.
One theme that I keep seeing in the questions is how training plays into all this, right? So we're talking about giftedness and self-awareness and discernment. And in multiple different ways, people are asking, well, what are the training pieces needed in the vineyard? Whether you're outside of the vineyard, new to this conversation, what does it look like to be ordained, or should I go and get my MDiv? One of our folks said that right in there. Would you recommend women interested in planting getting an MDiv? And so could you guys respond to that a little bit, just around like what training could be next, or what types of training do you see helpful for women? Kathy, could we start with you? Kathy Maskell?
Sure. I do have an MDiv, but I think some of the beauty of the vineyard is that I didn't feel like it was a requirement to be a church planter, especially since we planted the church and then I went to seminary. I think for me, it was discerning going to seminary was discerning whether or not I felt called to be a pastor. And for me, to be trained as in discerning whether I was going to be called to be a pastor was me figuring out and growing in desire for theological depth, because I equate pastoring with, just that more relational, like doing just long-term life with folks, where having just a stronger theological framework and time and space to both ask and dig into questions about, the nature of God and the Trinity. And we talk about how we're a movement rooted in the kingdom of God. So like, what is it? And, I personally have not done Vineyard Institute or VL, VLI. These are some other resources within the vineyard. But for me, like a question would more be like, do you have like theological questions? Like, are you intellectually curious about you know, the Bible? Like, those would be good reasons for getting more training. And then there's other much more pragmatic tools, I would say, like Vineyard Institute, that are especially designed for people who want to grow in specific skills or content area that are packaged in a way that can fit into your work or family life without needing to kind of remove yourself to go full-time as a student. But I loved it. It was exactly what I hoped it would do, and particularly to deepen my theological frameworks and to think systematically through the narrative arc of the Bible.
Kathy Chester, what did that look like for you? Because you were similar to Kathy Maskell, right? Like, as you were starting, didn't have that training. And right. You talked a bit about that. As your husband died, you felt like, hey, you weren't the one trained to preach. You weren't the one trained to do some of that. So what did it look like on the ground then, kind of diving in to church planting, even without some of that training as you were beginning?
Well, what was really great is with John being a VLI student, he was so excited about what he was learning that I kind of joked, I kind of learned a lot through osmosis, him coming and talking about it, which opened a lot of great discussion. I remember his very first class, something was taught in the class, and he came home. He says, man, all of my theology has been blown out of the water. And seeing God and seeing everything in a whole different light. So I learned a lot through his schooling, helped him study for his tests. So I got all that. And I actually, he had talked about me going to VLI, but I was full time. We had kids and things going on. And of course, then we got full depth into church planning after I retired. And so we were dealing with all of that. So the time and energy was not there. So after he passed away, I actually did start taking some VLI classes. They were more of the intro ones. So there weren't things that were helping me really with what I was dealing with on the ground. What I found for me, especially doing it on my own, was that I did not have the energy to do it all. So that was a struggle I have had. I can say that I've had to do a lot of studying, a lot of research on my own, and I do ask a lot of questions of other pastors. If I am not understanding scripture, I do not teach on it until I understand it. I think that's important to do. But I ask a lot of questions. I reach out to different pastors, especially if I know they're particularly strong in one area and I'm not. I have some very, very mature Christians in my church that I know I can go to and even pick their brains as well. So I don't have any formal training. I'm a retired teacher, so I had that teaching part and the organization part, but as far as the theology part, I have not had that. It's been a total on the job training for me.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. And I think what we know about learning in educational circles is so much of that is learned on the ground, not just in the educational institution. I think that was a little bit of strategically for the Vineyard. John Wimber, one of the founders, often said it's better caught than taught, right? And so we have that in our ethos to be practitioners. Shalane, were you about to jump in there with a thought?
I could tell
you were going for something.
You see it. You can see it. Yes. Yeah, so one of the things that I look at with this is that I really feel like I am more of an MLiv instead of an MDiv, because I wish I had it, but I don't. I have a bachelor's in political science, which only helps during the elections, and that's when I want to not have anything to say from the pulpit about my degree. But if we could look at this and say, you know, what are we learning and how are we living out this calling that God is giving us? And ladies, read, read, read. There's so much good information. The Vineyard has so many great resources, but there's also really, really great resources out there that we can read and become more educated. Good leadership books, good theology books, read things that are going to make you a little uncomfortable sometimes, that are going to challenge you a little bit, that part of us being more equipped as leaders and more equipped as pastors, more equipped as planters, is us having the life experience in that. And so I wish I have so many times I've wanted to go back to school. I really enjoy getting an MDiv because I just love studying so much. But I say to people all the time, all I really have is an MLiv, that I'm just living this out right now.
Yeah, so I would love to have the education. And it's just, I'm not there yet as far as the time that I have, as far as what I'm doing. So I love that little MLiv. I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
So there are so many good questions coming in. I want to just shift us a little bit and get to a few of those as we go. Before we do, I want to say, I just sent over a link around some of our online courses. If you're just wanting to dip your feet into the waters of getting a little more training, we have those all on our website. And then there's been some conversation around just, am I a church planter, and assessing those skills. I sent over our 10 questions, little survey before. I'm sending over another one. This is the Church Planter Candidate Assessment. The CPCA, this is done by Lifeway Resources. It's part of our church planter discernment process. It's some more thoughtful and discerned question asking and survey that will tell you some of your competencies based on what a healthy or successful church planter is. So are you somebody who is a people gatherer? That was mentioned here along the way. Are you entrepreneurial? Mm-hmm. And how do you rate compared to kind of a benchmark score of church planters who tend to be successful or tend to make it? This is part of our discernment process. We have a big discernment process on our website, which we'll be sending you over the link to. We just want you to know that the resources are there. This one specifically, because it's with Lifeway, is a little bit of money. It's $29, but we really think that investing in this process of discernment can really pay a lot of big dividends. Some questions that are coming up, and Trish, you said you wanted to answer this one. Let's talk just for a minute about bivocational and planting, because you and your husband have been at different ways along the way. So tell us a little bit about what it looks like to be bivocational and plant.
Yeah, so we're intentionally bivocational. My husband works in biotech, which we're planted in Kendall Square in Cambridge. So that is like a biotech hub. And he, a lot of the ministry he does is actually through his job, but he also loves his job. And I am still writing, and we adopted two kids from foster care. And so part of our discernment process was saying, what do we want our church to look like? We feel very much called to plant a church where you get resource in our church, but then you go do things, right? That you're not just sort of huddled together, but you go get built up so that you're going to go do things. But I think that it all goes back to who we are. I think Steve and I would really struggle to just be on a church staff. You know, I think there's a reason God didn't have us on staff. He always had us bivocationally volunteering and working, but that's unique to us. And to be able to say like, okay, this is a way that can work. And it's not saying another way is bad or good. It's just sort of knowing yourself and what you are prepared to do and how you do it best. I work best when I'm out in the world getting examples of how God's working, because that fuels me seeing him at work, and it gives me stories to share about, no, the kingdom of God, it's real. It's at hand. And that I'm like a collector of all these stories. And I think that goes to, there was another question about how do you figure out how to work with your husband if your roles maybe feel a little flipped from the traditional. It only feels flipped when people ask us about it. We have found that the way we lead our church is very much how we are in real life as just a couple. And so figuring out how we function as a couple has been really helpful to us. And if we just go and do that, and again, don't worry, like, oh, are people, you know, Steve always says, like, people sometimes ask him, like, does it bother you that your wife speaks? And he's like, no, I'm the hero of all our stories. You know, and just really, you know, having, you know, the sense of humor we have at home and letting that translate. People can see if you're comfortable with what you're doing And then that makes them feel comfortable. If you feel awkward and unsure in any situation, this is true through all of life, then people worry about you and start to question it. If you go in and you're like, yeah, I'm fine, and so it's okay for you to be fine, there's so much power in that.
And I want to jump in on that too, because one of the questions has something to do with that. What if you are a single woman? Or what if you're a married woman whose husband is not called to plans? And I want to encourage you in that, because I've been married, we've been married 29 years, and my husband did not feel like he was called to do this. Who is God calling? Who is God gifting for this? And if it is you, then women, move forward in that. Whether you are a single woman, this is okay. You don't have to have a male counterpart to be successful in this. If you are a married woman and your husband's going to be your greatest proponent of this, then move forward in the gifting and the calling that God's given to you. That's a big question. Who is God calling to plant? Who is God calling to lead? And don't force this upon anybody. I mean, we've seen this in reverse a number of times, where the men are called and the women get put into a role they feel completely inadequate as the pastor's wife or whatever, because they're not called into it. Yet there is an expectation. The same thing can happen in the reverse, where woman, if it's you that's called, then move in it and don't expect that your husband has to be your sidekick or move along with you. And if you don't have a husband, that's okay. Move into this as a bold single woman who's ready to walk in the gifting and the calling that God has given you. Go forward in that. So I'm going to encourage you, who is God calling? And those people, walk in that. And then to the question about men, how do you help with this? You men who are leaders in church, intentionally look for women who are leading. Look for women who are visioning, who are dreaming, who are leading, who are collecting, who are gathering, and start giving them great opportunities. Don't just look at, and no offense to this, but don't just look at children's ministry or women's ministries, places for them to lead. What are the high profile, risky positions, and put a woman into that. That's what the men can do. Stop saying, I support women in ministry, or I believe in women in ministry, and become a proponent for women in leadership. There's the difference.
If anybody were on the fence about women being able to preach, I think we just saw it right there, right? Like, come on, Shalane, bring it. So good. And Roana in the chat window says, preach. So good. So good. We only got a few minutes left, and so I want to keep kind of firing off some of these questions. There's some great ones coming in. I'd love to hear if anybody has any thoughts. One was just asked around being a mom and a church planter. So how does motherhood impact this for you? Kathy, I know you have two little ones at home. What have you been thinking about as far as sort of being a mom and a church planter along the way?
Well, I might have to pass it over. I've only had kids post being a church planter. I mean, I'm full-time staff, you know, full-time at Blue Root Vineyard is 50 hours a week. So I can speak to that. You know, I've got an 8-year-old and a 19-month-old. And it really does take a village. You know, my husband Caleb is on part-time staff, but just on the logistics of the weekend, if he's leading worship and I'm on as pastor on call, like it's a real dance. Like we have to get help, you know, we have to make a plan. And when we don't make a plan, like, the kids sometimes go to two or three services, you know, over the weekend. Like that's just the reality. Like it's totally messy because I'm not as organized in that area of my life as other areas. But for the most part, I think just what we're trying to do on the kids side is just to keep it fun, you know, keep it an adventure. And they're young enough where they still defer to believing what we say reality is a bit. And I mean, just again, like talking real, like as just a full-time employed mom, like we, for the baby, like Caleb's mom helps 4 days a week, you know? And there's flexibility. Like one thing I would also want to say to, if there are like male senior pastors in the room where you have the ability to set the tone for culture. You know, just even at our church, I was the first full-time pastor to ever go on maternity leave. They did not have a maternity policy before I came on staff. They had really no real grid for what to do, like if I wanted to nurse or if I needed to pump during the day. And we had to talk about those things, and I was glad that we did, but it also was notable that it was not something that was discussed before I came on staff. And like, what does it look like for churches and church planters to then proactively consider like what needs to happen to make this a mom-friendly environment where kids are not a problem, but kids are expected and maybe even integrated, you know, even thinking about sharing childcare responsibilities, things that I've experienced in other contexts working in other nonprofits where just the reality is like everyone was bivocational, people who were working part-time jobs, and we just shared responsibilities. And if one person was leading the meeting, someone else's turn was to take the kids outside and play. So yeah, that's just some of my experience.
That's great. We only have so much time. I'm going to throw another question out to folks. What about this thing about timing? When is the right time to plant? There were multiple folks along the way that asked, and Trish, could I just go over to you to what would you think around kind of this theme of timing? When is the right time?
You know, our experience was unusual in that we were assessed to plant back in 2011. And then the church we were planning on planting out of closed. And so God put that on hold for 5 years. And there were 5 years where we actually didn't have a church because there wasn't a vineyard. Sorry, my dog is very excited here about planting. There wasn't a vineyard. There wasn't an opportunity. There wasn't a place to go. And so we kind of just hung out and talked to God. And we were doing church in our living room with our new kids that we adopted. And then God opened a bunch of doors to reunite us with the vineyard. And so that would be my thing would be, you know, get assessed. If you think you're serious about this, like start talking to the vineyard about the assessment process. And then look for where God opens doors. Because the thing is, there was probably, when the door opened for us to plant Greenhouse Mission, it was like 3 months. It was super fast. And suddenly we are in meeting every Sunday as a brand new church when we had not planned that. So I think, yeah, you may wait and then God will just open door after door and you think, oh, that's a green light. And just step through when you get the green light and see what God does. And don't be crushed when you get a red light. You know, it's super disheartening to think, oh, I'm going to go do this great thing. And then this door shuts and that door shuts, and I'm mixing my metaphors here. But you will see at the end, like, oh, God was setting things up and moving obstacles you didn't even know were there. Like, God is working and he's for church planting. And so I will say, like, I've learned you can trust him.
That's so good. And I just sent over the link to kind of our starting page for church planters. We have a bunch of resources there. We've sent over a bunch along the way. I know folks have asked for books and things like that. We are going to just send those over to everybody via email. Right. And so we'll have a list of kind of some recommended reading from our panelists here. And we really want to respect everybody's time today, and our hour is wrapping up to a close. So thank you. We want to leave you wanting more. I mean, it says right now that we got more conversation to have. And so in 2018, we'll be doing more webinars. Women in ministry will be another topic because of tremendous support we've seen. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. This has been our highest attended webinar to date. So thank you, all of our men and women who have joined us. Thanks for your questions. It's so good having you. And Kathy, Shalane, Kathy, and Trish, thank you so much for everything you're doing. We love all the stuff you're doing along the way. And Shalane, would you just pray for us and pray for these women who are discerning on the call here as we close?
I would love to. I just thank you so much, God, for that in your image and likeness you created us, male and female, you've created us. And I thank you for that. And I ask you that, Holy Spirit, for these women who are listening, who are feeling the call, who you have gifted, that you would just speak more clearly to, that you would just be drawing them out and making it very clear to them that they are called, that they are leaders, that you do love them, and that you do have a place for them. I thank you that we are part of a movement that absolutely encourages women in leadership, and that you are a God who has created us in your image and likeness, and you have created us in this leadership image, and I thank you for that. For these women that are already leading right now, God, I ask that you would please just continue to bless them and their churches. To the women who are feeling this out a little bit, God, that you would speak to them and draw them, that you would encourage them and put good people around them. And to the men, Lord, who are listening in on this, and to the other men who are in leadership, that you would turn them into proponents of women in leadership. All of this is for your kingdom, God, that we'd be able to propel your kingdom forward into the dark corners of this world, and that you will use both genders and all ages and every nationality to accomplish this. And we are grateful for it. Thank you for this time today. We praise you, God. Strengthen us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you all for being here today. And just a reminder, we'll send over the recording and all the resources by the end of the week. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. We'll see you later.
Thank you.